Hey folks, Captain Kevin Favor, and welcome to the Outdoor Show podcast brought to you by Ag South. They are specialists in land financing in Southeast Georgia. They make loans for small and large acreage, hunting property, timberland. They even do home mortgages and construction. Look, if you've listened to our show long enough, you know Jeff and I own property in Georgia. We both used Ag South for our financing, and they were great, and we couldn't be happier. Here's a cool part about Ag South. They have competitive rates, and they pay an average of 25% of the interest back every year in patronage. So let's just say your loan's for $300,000 at 6.5% at 20 years. That means you get back $2,770 a year. They write you a check for that. You call them at 844-AG-SOUTH or go to agsouthfc.com. Ag South, really good people who really know land.
Welcome to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast.
I'm going to take you fishing, honey. You're going to love it.
Brought to you by Ring Power and Tire Outlet on 1010XL. Here's Captain Kevin Favor and Captain Scott Shank.
Good evening. Welcome to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. I'm Captain Kevin Favor, sitting in with Captain Scott Shank.
That's me.
What's up?
What a fun week
it's
so
been,
far.
Man, it's been a great
Dude,
week.
Dude, a gorgeous ocean yep. for a change. Not getting our brains beat
yep,
in.
Yeah, yeah.
Bait still sucks.
Yeah.
But, I mean.
But at least there is some.
There is some to catch.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean.
But the fishing's phenomenal.
It is. It is. It is phenomenal. Only time I've heard you whine this week
is when I had a fishing shore in
yes,
today.
Yes, yes. Exactly.
So just leave that alone and just stop it right now.
Okay, we're just going to go to the happy part.
We're
right?
just going to happy part. We're, I don't. I want. I, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I need happy my happy
land.
Place.
The happy.
I need my happy place.
Okay.
And happy place being offshore. We get up at 5 a.m. You and I.
Uh huh.
We get our boats in the water by about 5:30, quarter to six.
I'm 6 o'clock.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fair.
6 o'clock.
And the sun's not even up yet. It's just the most gorgeous part of the morning. I think is
it
first
is a
thing.
Great part of the day.
And mullets are everywhere, so we'll catch a couple netfuls of mullet just in case.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go hunt pogies, which, like you said, have not been that bad. They do, as the sun comes up, they kind of get beat down by all of us being in there and
right.
engines running over them. And the tide, because it's so daggum shallow in there, you know. You
it
just,
is shallow, dude.
Dude, you were stirring mud up the whole time.
The whole time.
And I was not far behind you because I looked back one time and went, damn, I'm in the shallow. When I threw the net, it
yep.
was like the horn never like went
right.
underneath the water,
right.
and I went,
right.
oh, this could get interesting. I wonder how I'm going to tuck this
I
net.
I mean, I know our recorders start blinking at 1.4.
Right.
And I was blinking.
Mm-hmm. Well, I found something today. I hit something, so I don't know. I got a little prop damage.
Yeah.
So I'll take that
but,
off.
But, yeah, I mean, we're having to go and find bait early in the mornings, which is – it's kind of cool because once you get it, you kind of get back and get cleaned up
yep.
and this, that, and the other. And when your folks get there, you get to go fishing.
Right, right,
you know,
right,
you don't
right.
have to run up and down the beach. And
right.
You know what I'm saying? I
yep.
mean, so as long as the bait's there,
yep.
I'm okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
But if it disappears, we are skiing rude.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Or we wait till next week when the tide's high first thing in the morning, then you can't even catch a mullet.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So, I mean, yeah, you're screwed.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
yes. Jiggable baits, I've passed some schools going offshore of, I'm going to just tell you, they're either threadies or cigar minnows.
Threadfin herrings.
Threadfin herrings or
yep.
cigar minnows. Usually, I have the way that they were, like, flipping,
yep.
or we'll call it, or whatever you want to call it, that it acts more, a threadfin acts more like a pogie. It's real fast.
Yep.
You know, they're up mm-hmm. and down, up and down, up and down, where, like a cigar minnow or a sardine is kind of more of his tail slapping as he's moving around and stuff
yep.
like that.
Yep.
So
yep.
I think I have to tend to believe that they're more threadies because they're out in the middle of the dirt, nowhere close to anything. But I did see two big old, you know, I'd say they're almost a football field. I mean, they're good little
yeah.
patches of bait.
And I haven't gone outside of a mile
you
all
haven't.
Week.
You haven't.
You know
burned
me?
About 12 gallons of gas all week long.
Well, I've made some runs to the south. You know me.
I
mean,
I know.
People who fish with me know I love to fish the beach. I love the different varieties of things that go on the beach and trying to figure it out. You have to fish tides on the beach for the most part. You know, there's so many things, so many variables that's different once you get offshore. And I enjoy the aspect of figuring that out. And ran south on Tuesday on a whim. I mean, just like
you did. Good luck with that one. Yeah, let me know how it is.
Yeah, you know, and had one of my very good friends who works for Ring Power, has worked for Ring Power forever, and Steve Dempsey, and he had his grandson and his stepson. And I told Dempsey, I said, look, you know, first off, I know it's going to be rough offshore because the wind's blowing, but on the beach it's going to be beautiful. And he's like, dude, you know me. Let's just go fishing. We're good. We'll find something, you know. So we ran south, and I was thinking I would find some bait, maybe find a tarpon in a bait pod or something. I already had bait, but man, nothing. Honestly, I pulled up to Matanzas and I pulled back, and I like to start in there at 25 feet of water, and I looked out, and it was brown. And I went,
there was a 17 mile run.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, that's not good, you know? And it was an incoming tide. It was a low incoming tide. So I told him, I said, look, let's just be patient with me. Mm-hmm. Hang in there, you know.
Let this water come in. That,
because it'll get pretty. It'll change over. And honestly, we probably fished an hour and a half, 2 hours without a bite. And it was clicking in my mind that I probably should go offshore and do something. But honestly, Scott, I was listening to those guys. They were getting their butts handed to them, and they weren't catching a whole lot.
No. I was listening too, but I was flounder fishing, and so
probably around 9:30, you know, we got our first bite. Don't know what it was. Took a lot of line. Pulled the hooks on it, but I'm like, okay, got a bite, you know, on the downrigger. And then I pulled, you know, probably another 10 minutes, downrigger goes off. I'm like, all right, here we go. And it gets out there and jumps, and it's about a 50-pound tarpon.
On the downrigger.
On the downrigger. Oh, wow. I'm like, oh, yeah, perfect on our kingfish tackle, you know. So,
well, 30-minute fight.
Yeah, ended up catching that fish, got good pictures of him, released him. And anyway, ended up catching a tarpon, a couple sharks. We went 1-for-4 on kingfish. And, you know, and stayed very busy after 9 o'clock. Once the tide started, got in there. And you know what? I dig those days.
Nope.
You know me. I mean, I can be very patient in there on the beach when I know a lot of people would have bailed.
I got two people tomorrow, and that's pretty much, I think I'm going to stay there.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't, you know, the pressure kind of with four is not really the amount of, you know, what you put in, but it's kind of keeping everybody busy. I had two kids, and so you got to kind of, you got to like keep them,
listen,
you know.
I had to keep the net out of the hand of the kids.
I know.
You know, this week, you know what I mean? Because it's boring.
It is.
You know,
I mean, it's beach fishing.
It's beach fishing.
But there's some days that you and I, even last, you know, witnessed last year, that were the most phenomenal beach day I've ever had in 3.5 hours of fishing.
Right.
You know,
right.
I mean, when you could catch, you know, 17, 18, 20 mackerels. Yeah, all beach fish.
Or five or six.
Well, whatever. I'm just saying, we had a couple of those days
last
year that was just me and you, and it was
it
was just stinking incredible.
Yeah. So
I mean, one line, and you just watch them fly.
Basically, did the same thing the next day. I did have a Ring Power trip and ran, and I was like, you know what? Because when I got home on Tuesday, I told Carrie, I said, you know what? One of the most relaxing, fun days of charter fishing that I've had. I mean, again, you know me. I love to do that. And you know, you're not going to get beat up.
Nope.
You know, it's
that's what I was going to say. The water's crystal clear.
Yeah,
usually.
you know,
it's calm. It's calm. And you watch. You could literally see that mullet or that pogie clearly.
Yeah.
And go look.
Yeah, oh,
as
yeah.
This
oh,
big
and,
old
oh,
shadow
call,
comes
I call,
up behind
called it.
It.
Called it numerous know? Times. You know. Went back the next day and had a Ring Power trip at Wyatt. When Wyatt was probably 8 years old, Wyatt was great. And a typical 8-year-old, what's this do? What's that do? Yeah. What's that do? You know, don't touch that kill switch. Don't touch that key. You know, but it was fine.
The
winnowy
questions. Yeah. My dad used to call them the winnowies. When are we getting there, Dad?
Yeah. And had a pretty good day. Went 2 for 4 on kingfish. Caught some sharks. Caught a big jack. Everybody's happy. We're good. We're leaving. We're going home. And I told him, I said, look, I want to run down the beach. And it was funny because Wyatt's like, hey, can I dump the bait out? And I said, no, don't dump the bait out. You never know what we're going to see on the way home. And lo and behold, you know, it just before the pier, look up, and there's two giant schools of pogies. Haven't seen pogies in I don't know how long. Mm-hmm. I mean, and both of them were getting worked. And I mean worked.
Really?
Worked. Jacks and tarpon and sharks. I mean, it was – oh, and a kingfish were just – I mean, I don't know where they come from, Scott.
Because they weren't there in the morning because people
no,
were
No, I
checking.
Ran down the beach. Yeah. I ran all the way down the beach, so I know they weren't
so
there
the
in the morning.
So where the heck did they just show up from?
They just, you know, I don't know. I don't know.
Are they all spread out on the bottom and finally go, hey, Joe, let's go ahead and go to the top and get us a little bit of sun.
You know, I was on my way home.
Yeah.
And I know those guys needed to get home too, but I'm like – and they're like, oh, we got a fish. So mm-hmm. – grab the tarpon rods, first two pogies in the water, whee, big jacks, all right, we got to catch tarpon, you know, swing back in there, and man, there is this pogie pod, I mean, it's
a good
dude, it is getting, you know, one of those big, black, purple yep. pods, you know, and the fish just, whenever they come up, they're just, you know, whoosh.
Yep.
We never did catch tarpon, but we caught another jack, and hooked a couple sharks and broke them off, but what a fun day, man.
Mm-hmm.
I just enjoy that. You know, look, don't get me wrong. I love going out there and catching mackerels on the party grounds and stuff. But, you know, the beach fishing just brings a different aspect to it, as in you're not just going to catch a kingfish.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there's that chance of – I mean, today I caught 35 feet down. Here we're in 70 feet of water.
Yep.
And, I mean, a – good red snapper too, when I tell you. I mm-hmm. mean a good one. I mean like 22. I mean a good one.
Yeah,
a big one. And I mean there's a sail. That's all. I like going out there just because, like what you said, there's beach fishing and then there's near shore or offshore fishing. You can raise sailfishes.
Yep.
You know that mysterious wahoo that might be swimming around. It might be a mahi. I mean there's two gamuts of
yeah, you're right.
Fish to fish for.
Yep.
And I don't know. I'm into all of it, and I can't get enough of it done in one day unless you do
no,
you
I know,
nine
yep,
hours.
Yep, that's exactly right. 641-1010, 641-1010. You listen to the Moe Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast on 1010XL. And have we talked to Leon?
No.
No? Okay. We'll make sure Captain Leon Dana
yeah.
checks in.
I mean, I talked to him. He's called me all day, but I didn't
okay.
tell him.
10-4. We're right back.
You're listening to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast, brought to you by Ring Power and Tire Outlet on 1010XL.
Welcome back to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. We've got the Captain Favorite, Captain Scott Shank.
In the Moe Studios, we're just looking at the weather. And it's like, whoa, there's some purple coming here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I Michael, before we got on air, he's like, hey, dude, it's raining. And then I just looked at the radar, and it's coming to St. Augustine. So,
And it's got some nasties in it.
It does have some nasties in it. So, speaking of weather,
okay.
Let's do a little marine forecast because we do have a kingfish tournament this week.
We do.
Yep. The Kingbuster.
Kingbuster's in town.
I don't know if there's any spots available. The last I heard, there was 20 spots available. It's capped at 150 boats.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. So,
that's cool.
Yeah, that is way cool. That's way cool. Anyway, Kingbuster400.com or Kingbuster.com, you can go and get registered. So anyway, the forecast tonight, Southwest 5 to 10.
Oh, hello.
Yeah, tomorrow, this is going to be interesting, Northwest at 5 to 10 becoming Southeast. So maybe a slight bit cooler in the morning, which today was nice, man, the cloud cover.
Oh,
and
no, the cloud cover and everything till about 11 o'clock, yes.
Yeah. For Saturday, for the tournament, looks like it's going to be rough. West, northwest winds at 5 knots, 1 to 2. Just kidding.
Damn. Go. You had me going. I'm going, wait a minute. I didn't see that. It's kind of what you give me when I tell you a weather forecast. I go, damn, I didn't see that one.
Sunday, southwest, 5 to 10.
Wow.
1 to 2.
Wow.
Monday,
yeah.
Southwest, 5 to 10, becoming south in the afternoon, 2 to 3. Tuesday, southwest, 5 to 10. We're going to have some good days, man. Some nice days.
It's so much
fun.
If the damn
bait would show up. It'd be
just a little tiny bit easier. It's okay, but still.
Yeah.
But still, I'm just telling you. I mean, you know, throwing, you know, 20, 30 times in the morning is not, you know. I don't like to start my day out just all full of salt water.
That's the biggest thing.
You're just soaking wet and you're sweating.
Yep. You know, look, I'm not complaining. Again, I'm glad the bait's there. And honestly, I have.
But I need a shower. Putting on a clean shirt doesn't mean a dang thing.
Right.
I feel like crap.
I literally have considered it. You know what? It's just like people getting up in the mornings early and going and doing a workout.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. I mean, you know, go throw that net 25 times and tell me this.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And by the way, on the 20th throw, that sumbitch looks like a banana.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. My shoulder's dragging. I can't hold it any longer.
No, you can't open it up for nothing.
No.
I know. So, anyway, sorry for that, but that's how our days start. It's fun. I guess we didn't talk to Leon?
Huh? He bugged me all day.
Oh.
But I was all shore, and I've tried to answer him.
And the reason that you and I do very few inshore charters this time of year is because you think it's hot offshore.
You ain't seen nothing yet.
Yeah.
And that's why I told Leon. I said, dude, the ocean's flat calm.
Yeah.
You know, he had a really good friend of ours, Mark and Mary, today. And he passed me. Yeah. I just got done catching bait, and I was going to the cove to pick up our clients.
Do I hear Leon?
I think so.
Leon.
And he passed me.
Oh,
and we waved.
There he is.
I'm here.
But
I'm just waiting.
Here.
Need to bring tarpon rods or kingfish rods in the morning there, cuz.
Don't bring the tarpon rods.
You know?
I brought the tarpon rods today. Yeah, I did, Scotty. I mean, Kevin. By the way, good evening, guys. Good to talk to you again, as usual.
You too, buddy.
I'll start off with this. God, it was beautiful out there. Mark and Mary, I swear, they're just like the absolute dream clients. I mean, they're just looking. Look at the water. Look at the beautiful sky. You know, they're just doing everything you could dream of, you know. Oh, look at the dolphin. They're just having such a great time. Go ahead.
Can I up you one on great clients?
Go ahead.
Okay, so I'm at, you know, I get up early this morning, right? I text my guys on Tuesday. Hey, meet you at Comanche Cove. On Thursday, 7:30, they're fired up.
If you need anything, call me.
Yep. You know, they're like, fish biting. I'm like, man, the fishing's really good. And they're like, oh, man, we can't wait, right? So I get up at 5 o'clock this morning and ease out of there about 5:30 and hit the ramp at 6, you know, iced up, go over to Salt Run. I spend 45 minutes, maybe 50 minutes. Mm-hmm. I got a bait well full of baits. I pull up to Comanche Cove, and there's Captain Scott and Zach. Yeah, everybody's waiting
on their customers.
Finally, I looked at Scott, and I was like, what time is it? And he said, 7:35, and I went, uh-oh. So, text my guys, no reply, crickets. All right,
okay.
Call my guys, straight to voicemail. I'm like, this ain't good.
Okay.
This ain't good, you know. So about 10 minutes later, they text me, and they're like, dude, we got mixed up. We thought the text said Friday. We see it says Thursday. Send us an invoice. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, that's fine. But here's where it gets better. All right?
This gets really funny now. Check this one out.
Leon, I want to go fishing. It's blowing out west at 5.
I'm in gear.
Yes. I mean, I'm in gear. So I call my buddy. I call him a client. He's not. He's one of my best friends now, but he's been fishing with me. And I call Travis Tabor at 7:45. Right? And listen, he this is his answer. Leon, you know, hello? I'm like, Trav, Kevin. Good morning, Kevin. I'm like, I said, charter canceled, boats at the dock. I already got bait. And he goes, I'll be there in 20 minutes.
He was out of a dead coma.
Oh, dude.
That's what we were talking about.
I was laughing. I'll be there in 20. Dude, in 20 minutes, he was at the dock. Like, the only thing that he brought with him was cash.
Yep.
No cooler, no nothing.
He usually packs for, you know, yeah. He brings a St. Croix. He gets his little six-pack cooler with an ice block in it, you know.
Shot out of a cannon.
I'm telling Kevin, I said, I know this is not going to be a good mental picture, but let's just take a mental picture of this real quick. I could see him, like, laying in the bed kind of thing, you know, like half awake kind of thing, you know. All of a sudden the phone rings, hello.
Yeah.
You know, one of those.
What do you want?
And can you imagine whenever Kevin said you want to go fishing, those covers came flying off, scared the hell out of his wife, thought he was having a heart attack or something. I could just see it, you know, run around, probably stumbling, trying to get a pant leg and a pair of shorts. I mean, it had to be hysterical. I would have loved to have been Kate. I'm going to ask his wife what the hell went down.
Leon, it was record timing, dude. I ain't kidding you. He was
Crescent Beach, and he was there.
Yeah. He was. I mean, he like 20 minutes. I'll be there. I'm like, okay, let's go. You know,
calm down. I got
calm down. Yeah,
yeah. It's kind of one of those things when you're like late to school or whatever, where you kind of go out the house. Where you go out the house, you're still kidding. God dang, Sneaky, would you get the hell on my foot? And you're trying to put an arm in a shirt, and you're trying to get. You know, it was one of them things. I can tell you, thank God Travis bald, because there was no combing to that hair. It was the way it laid.
Oh,
that was hysterical.
Great.
Isn't that great?
Yeah,
good stuff.
Sorry, Trav, we don't mean to pick on you.
Love those people. Just love
you do.
People.
You love them, man. And it ended up being such a special day of fishing, you know. And he knows that, you know, because just like the your folks that you're talking about, he has been out there with me in the worst god awful conditions and had some of the worst days, but he's had some of the most spectacular days.
Me and you last year tarpon fishing, me, you, and him, whenever, what do we hook? He hooked five and we went home?
Yeah.
That last September?
Yep.
Yes,
where the Palm Valley boys come down there?
So did you run the beach today, Leon?
I ran the beach. I ran to Matanzas and back, actually, today, out of Palm Valley.
You know, okay.
I zigzagged from 20 feet all the way out to 45 feet, you know, just looking around. Got behind a couple shrimp boats. Neglected to bring beer for them because, I mean, they were ready to trade fresh giant jumbo shrimp for beer when they were shifting this morning. So I got to remember that.
Yep.
But holy cow, it was just, you know, it's just a National Geographic event out there, man, when they start dropping that bycatch out the back. When people have never seen it before. It's just, it's eye-opening, you know, just to watch what happened. So Mark and Mary got an eyeful of that, and they just absolutely loved it. But, here's a little food for thought for you this morning. You know, you talk about getting up and throwing, working really hard for the bait. Just to let you know, between markers 31 and 33 across from Palencia, I floated my net in pogies on the first cast, on the first throw. Literally, the net floated the surface. So I know they got to be the same size ones you're using for bait. So they're thick up here.
Stop and throw, because we don't need many.
Right.
We'll catch our own mullet.
Uh-huh.
And you just float it for us and bring it to us. We'll see you at Comanche
Cove. I will say this. Palm Valley's got mud minnows.
Yeah, nobody else does but Palm Valley.
So I'm just saying. Just saying.
Did you onshore fish at all today? Did you flounder fish at all?
Nope. Mark and Mary, you know them. They just went out and went, we don't care what happens today. We don't care if we see a fish, fight a fish, or keep a fish. You know, we just went out and had a wonderful trip with them. And just like you said, if that beach shows up with bait, it's going to be glorious. It will be just amazing when that bait shows up on that beach. So
yeah,
Palm Valley's not doing great, I don't know, Leon.
I don't know that it's going to show up.
Yeah, I think
it's July almost, bro.
I know, I mean, it'll happen.
If there's anybody hoping and wishing that it's going to happen, it's me, because August, all I got is tarpon trips.
I know.
And so that puts 10 of us behind a shrimp boat? No, I'd rather shoot myself. Yeah. Yeah.
No, I respect that.
Yeah. Not a chance.
Chunk line, just like you taught me.
Yep.
Yeah, old school.
Yep. We could definitely go to that. There's no question.
just drop back and start my own chum line. And that, and just like you said, that's old school, and it works just fine.
Oh, it does.
Water salinity in Palm Valley is about a 13, 12, 13 right now. It's not any better. We're still getting discharges out of Plantation, Sawgrass, so on and so forth. Right. Water clarity is not that good. And all the redfish, I've got morning tides this entire week, folks. And every redfish that I've seen in the morning really has not been super active in feeding. But boy, you let that water get in and get up against those banks and up in the grass, and they're in 100% feeding mode. I mean, I've caught all my biggest and best redfish this past week up in the grass, live mullet, cut crab, you know, throwing it inside the grass, not outside, dead nuts in there like you bass fish for, you know, throwing a pig in a jig, you know. And these fish are all upper slot. Some flounder are being caught. Either on shrimp and jigs or mud minnows, or fishing the creek bins for those. Not really big. 14, 15 inches is the average. Mm-hmm. Luckily, we've gotten away from the potato chips. Trout fishing is MIA for me currently right now with this water salinity that we have right now.
Yeah, it's
so I'm not worried about
that at all.
If you catch
one, it's going to be a stud.
Yeah, that's right. I've caught some studs.
He's going to be a 5-pounder or better. Yep. He's going to be 24 or over.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
And he's going to eat a live mullet.
Leon, let me ask you this. On the you know, because our, you know, in our brains, inshore guides, we want to fish the last 3 hours of the outgoing tide, first hour of the incoming tide. That's just typical, okay? Is there so much bait at that tide right now? Do you feel like that has something to do with it?
Well, a portion of me always agrees with that because, just like you said, I usually do the last two of the out, first two of the in. And right. And I always tell my clients to say, why am I doing this? Because I'm forcing every single predator in those backwaters out with the bait into one area. And they're always going to stage in particular areas, i.e. in front of creek mouth, up on flat, or they're going to sit there near oyster beds. Now, what I'm going to say is, it's just like cobia fishing. If they want to eat, you know, you ever thrown a bait or a tarpon? You always throw that one hurt bait out there and how fast they seem to find it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this time of year, I'm doing the 5-minute rule. If I'm fishing a particular area where there should be redfish at, I'll fish it exactly 5 minutes, and I'll look at the place. We're moving 100 yards. And I move down those banks that way until I find the fish that want to feed. And it works very well for them this time of year. And I think the biggest mistake people make is, I caught fish here before. I know they should be here. We're gonna stick it out. And I'm like, guys, I just can't do that because I'm on a window, a 4-hour window, which is probably now down to an hour and a half, you know what I'm saying, realistically, or 2 hours. And I've got to find those fish in that 4 hours that want to feed.
Yep.
So I continuously keep moving this time of year. I know there's redfish there, but I just can't wait them out.
And I think the other mistake that people make, especially with inshore fishing, is they're like, you know what? We have caught redfish in this hole before, okay?
Right.
But they're in that hole, like they're fishing in June. They caught fish in that hole in March.
Right.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And that's it's a learning curve that with the inshore stuff. Leon, it just because they're in that hole in June certainly doesn't mean that they're going to be there in March or vice versa.
No, because, see, I'm fishing totally ass backwards to all y'all.
Right.
Okay,
right.
To where I am not leaving bridge to bridge.
Right.
I mean, literally, I'm from Villana Bridge to 312 Bridge, pitching docks.
Right.
Creek mouths on Main River. The reason behind it is, for me, is I want movement of water where it's cooler. I mean,
right.
I did venture into a creek the other day, and like you said, it was 87 or 88 degrees in there. It's like, I don't even want to be in there. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they're tripping alive. Well, we're going, it's like they're too hot. So you move back out, and they get all frisky again. So I'm just telling you, I mean, my biggest thing is I'm pitching docks at Main River runouts.
Yep.
And I like high tide this time of year. I love high tide this time of year.
I know you guys do.
I don't like low tide.
You know what I like this time of year? Beach fishing.
I know. if I could only talk everybody into it.
It's tough. Don't get me wrong.
Well, Mark and Mary, they're gonna we're not fishing river. We're going offshore.
Yep. Leon, thanks, man. Great report.
Always a pleasure, Kevin. Scotty, have a good night.
Yep, great job. 641-1010, 641-1010. Give us a call right here on the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. Be right back.
This is the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast, brought to you by Ring Power and Tire Outlet on 1010XL.
Welcome back to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast, which you can listen to Captain Kevin and myself every Thursday night from 7 to 8 here on 1010XL.
Mm-hmm.
And all that kind of good stuff, and learn how fun we've had all week.
Yes, we have.
Which it has been. Bring up Captain Chip Wingo's standing by. I did fish inshore one day this week, and it was just a grinder. But I did catch five really nice flounders.
Good ones.
Really good ones. I mean, 3 to 5 pounders. Yep. I mean, there's nothing wrong with them.
3 to 5 pounders, dude. Those are nice fish. Stop.
Yeah. No, that's what I'm saying. I'm not. I mean, it just. But it all came down
a
to
5 pound flounders.
I had them like fish. And I mean, had a couple drum. But it all evolved in 40 minutes. I could have stayed home for 3 hours and 20 minutes of it and caught them in the last 40 minutes because they were biting on that last of that high end coming, and I mean, the water was just gorgeous on those jetties. I mean,
it's amazing, isn't it?
Oh my God, when you could be like a half a mile away from a sand patch and go,
right.
Even with people, you know, your clients with no sunglasses, and go, you see that right there? That's when you know we're going to catch some fish along this thing, and he pulled right up and spot.
Do we have Chip?
Yeah, he's right here somewhere.
What's happening, guys?
What's up, buddy?
Hey, buddy.
Just driving home in the rain. Just finished the double.
Oh boy!
Oh boy!
Yep. And oh my God, we had a bite this evening. Wow. 11 big reds. It went off the Richter this evening.
Really? That's cool.
Unreal. Fish same spots this morning, same tides, and what a difference, you know, 8 hours made. It's just crazy.
Yeah, yesterday afternoon, you know, running home on the beach, coming across those bait pods, and all of a sudden here's tarpon and pogies, you know. I didn't see any of that in the morning time.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, we jumped one today too, early. Had one eat a dead pogie, cut pogie, on a weighted circle hook, which was really surprising. Big one. That didn't last very long, but it was fun.
That's cool. So,
yeah. Was real excited about that, and you know, had a real nice red. We only had one big red this morning, and then this afternoon it was right. You know, from 6 o'clock, right about 6 o'clock to 7. It just went crazy. I mean, absolutely crazy.
That's an amazing time of day.
Yeah, every cast, you know.
Wow.
So it was, and I told him, I said, guys, you know, we got to stick with it. We saw fish moving on the edges, but then they dropped off in the deeper water. I go, they're going to be right in this groove. I know they're here. We just got to be patient. And we threw all kinds of stuff today, you know, topwater plugs and spinnerbaits and all of the other stuff while the tide was dropping, and then we cheated and went to fish bites and it got it done. And I mean, it was awesome. So, and let me tell you something about that tube jig head. It'll handle big red fish with no problem, Scotty. No problem.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
Good. Yep.
My little snapper jig head.
Yeah.
Yeah, that thing's actually, I like the way it rides the current when you're working that edge, you know?
Yep.
That way it drifts down the edge. It doesn't hang up too much. It works really good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
It was an exciting day. A long day. I left the house.
That's a long day.
For doubles there, old
no kidding. But you know what? You know what that is? That's an extra day of hunting right there.
That's what he's got to look at. It's an extra day of hunting.
But I said to the Godfather today, he goes, aren't you getting a little old for doubles? I got hunting season's coming, brother. I got to do everything I can.
Yeah, we got 2 months to make money, dude.
Yep.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah, and then I got to come up with excuses. So, you know, but no, it was
You know, I was listening to Leon talk a little bit, and the bite, it's weird because the bite has been pretty good on the high water. The fish have been a little finicky, you know, with the low water, with all the bait. And, Kevin, I think that there's so much noise in the creeks with the bait. And I know redfish are a fish that likes, you know, they're very audible-oriented. You know, I think it messes them up. You know, when there's so much bait, I think they just get confused. You know, when you get them out away from that, all that bait, I think it makes sense. You know, because we saw them up early this morning and bait everywhere, and they wouldn't eat. And then this afternoon when the bait thinned out a little bit, they just went ballistic. So, you know, it's a grind.
It is. And I wonder how much barometric pressure with these storms coming through this afternoon. I mean, especially if they didn't feed the sporting ship, they got to eat sometime.
Yeah, dude,
know?
Can you imagine still daylight after this goes by or whatever?
Oh,
beach bite, anything bite?
Yep. I can promise you at some point in time before my career's ended, I'm going to do afternoon, late thunderstorm afternoon trips on the beach.
Well, yeah, you've scheduled that time of year and you just don't run in the morning.
Yeah, exactly.
You run your trips in late evening.
Yeah.
Up till 8 o'clock. And then
you got to have the right clients like Travis.
Yeah,
you can call and say, hey, tomorrow looks like the day that we might be able to go at 4
right.
p.m.
Right.
You know, and fish till dark.
Right.
You know?
Just get to the cove. If we got to sit in there and wait on the thunder, then we're going.
Yeah, exactly. So.
Sorry I didn't talk much to you this morning, bud. You were calling me, and I have my hands full.
It's all good, man. I just had a question for you real quick for a client, and we got it taken care of. I appreciate it. So,
my bad.
I understand when we're working, so.
It was just insane fun bite offshore today, and it was just, it was insane. It was fun. We had a good time.
So real quick, Chip, before we let you go, this is a letter sent to info@outdoorshow.com. This is from Captain Scott's charter from today.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
Am I in trouble?
Well, let's just listen.
Okay.
Letter for your show tonight says, besides a few fantastic aerial strikes on a busy day of mackerel fishing, the highlight for this group of four was staying out of Captain Scott's way as he gradually nursed a rather large, out-of-season red snapper back to health. Scott spent 15 minutes maneuvering the boat back around to continue assisting the ailing snapper, pulling out all the stops to save the beautiful fish. At one point, at about 15 minutes into the rescue effort, Scott radioed to a colleague in another boat nearby who came and stayed with the snapper until it finally got pecs under and nose down and swam back towards the bottom. It is reassuring to observe such care for the well-being of a single fish. It gives me hope for the species and our ability to continue enjoying outdoors life on the ocean this way.
Wow.
Nice. That's awesome.
Amazing. Sometimes the impressions that you make on the things that you do that we take for granted.
And the funny thing was we caught him on a downrigger. He ate 35 feet down.
Mm-hmm.
Fought him for a little while. I honestly believe, I mean, without planing up, I honest to gosh thought it was a cobia, so I nursed the fish a little too much because, come on, it didn't run off any drag. You know what I'm saying? It went straight out and then kind of took a little bit of an angle, but not like a huge angle. So I kind of nursed the fish because I didn't know what it was.
Right.
We fought it too long. I mean, and the fish came up. We all have the deflate tool. I deflated the fish, heard the air come out. Everybody did that was standing there. Put my little fish grippers on him and stuff like that, put the boat in the gear and fins were moving and tail was, and he's trying to pull away. And so I took the boat out of gear real quick, took it out and threw him down head first. Cause it usually shocks that fish to where it makes him go.
Yep.
Well, after like three times doing that, it didn't work anymore. I said, okay, I'm going to another plan. So the next plan was I cut the kingfish rig off. I tied down 16 ounces of lead and a little tiny one-aught kale hook.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, okay, well, I didn't have my descending tool with me because I'm not bottom fishing. I wasn't planning on this.
Right.
So I hooked the fish literally in the tongue right on the very end and try to lower him down because every atmosphere, every 15 feet is a different atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking I'll lower him back down to where I caught him at 35 to 40 feet. I'll just hold them right there and see what happens. Didn't work. I stayed it there, and I gave him that few minutes that I thought was good. You know, I just reeled and set the hook hard real quick, and it just pulled out of his tongue.
Mm-hmm.
So I get going, and this is when Matt Wood comes into play. All of a sudden, I look behind me, 50, 60, 70 feet, and it's like, damn it.
Right.
And he's over there, you know, doing the one-handed backpedaling thing again. I went, and I told Bubba and stuff, and I said, guys, I said, honest to gosh, please don't hold us against me. I've done everything I think I can to this.
Yeah.
Well, Matt pulled up, hits the daggum fish on the tail with the gaff, and down he goes. No more to come up.
Nice.
So that's a nice story.
Rescue. Yeah, we needed to save that snapper.
Really nice fish, too. For 9 mile, I'm telling you
big
right
old
now.
Female, yeah.
I mean, a big old girl.
Mm-hmm.
Like 20, I mean, like big, like 30 inch big, like big.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it was a nice. Yeah. Good fish.
Yeah.
Bubba said, but they all took pictures. I was too busy on the rescue efforts, so you always get yelled at. I didn't take any pictures. Sorry, but it was.
What a shock.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. You're going to yell at me because I never take pictures.
Dude has his own tackle company now, and it can't take, I don't know, how long does it take to take a picture, Chip?
Yeah, it takes a couple seconds. I get it. I forget to do it sometimes, too.
Speak of that. It was one single bar of a 4-0 treble hook right in the corner of his mouth. It was the greatest thing. When I reeled him up,
4X.
4X. Our kingfish. Yeah,
you said 4-0.
Oh, yeah. Number 4, yeah. 4X.
People are like,
what the hell are you trolling? Yeah. But anyhow, it was just one hook just right there, like the fatty portion of his lip there.
Yep.
And so the bite was weird because I'm sitting there going, guys, look, downrigger bite. And it popped.
Yep.
And then it popped again, and it finally tripped out the thing, and it bent over, and then come back up again. I went, dang it, we pulled another hook. And all of a sudden, she takes back off for the bottom. And that's why I thought it was a cobia. But anyhow, yeah. Hopefully you'll show the picture.
It's cool catching them.
Oh, I'm not saying that.
I'm just saying on that downrigger sometimes because, Chip, it's happened to me. You know, I've probably caught 10 on a downrigger this year, and you know, now if you're fishing a particular piece of bottom and you go over it and a downrigger goes off, it's kind of obvious now.
Dude, it was a scratch piece of bottom.
That's what I'm saying. That's my point. Is when you're over just live bottom and stuff and that downrigger goes off like that, they really do kind of fool you into a cobia.
Mm-hmm. That's what I told them, because that's what they were wanting all day. I said, dude, this might be ours right here.
Right.
I said,
right.
That's why I didn't get real heavy on the drag. I kind of just, you know, I played the fish a little longer than I should have played the fish.
But. So, Chip, real quick, bait of choice today, since you had such a great day. What I mean, live bait, throwing artificials, I know you.
Honestly, the best bait I had today was the fish bite crab strips on that jig head that Scotty makes. That was the best thing I had going today. I mean, they were clobbering it. Yeah. So, yeah.
You're just working out like a typical jig head? I mean, throwing it up current and letting it bounce?
Yeah, I was actually, we're working about, you know, a third of the way up the current and then just sweeping it right into the honey hole, the spot, you know. It's like right where we rolled into about 4 to 6 foot of water, they were right there. And it was like, if you missed it, you had to reel back up and throw again and get it to drift right into it. So,
it's
and if
crazy
you move
how that works,
fast,
too.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then if you hit it, you hit it.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, it's
if
like
you're
shrimp.
Off a foot,
if you move
you'll
a shrimp
know.
Too fast, they don't want it. You know, shrimp, if you look at them, they're not doing 30 miles an hour down there on the bottom, you know. They're just barely moving along with the current. So, but no, those fish bites are money. It was the pink crab, and it was awesome. Awesome.
That's great. It sounds like the fish bit everywhere today. So, you know, I don't know why, you know, but it's weird when it happens because, you know, I was catching a few fish on the beach and listening to these guys.
And Tuesday we all struggled. I mean, the offshore bite wasn't all that great on Tuesday when I fished inshore.
No. And I fished the beach and had a really good day on the beach. Felt really good about my day on the beach. But, yeah, they struggled offshore.
I mean, there's a lot of boats only getting like 2 and 3 bites.
Yeah. No, it's but today was not that day. Today was
it was just
listening to the radio and listening to your reports and stuff. And I always find that bizarre, but I find that so flipping interesting. That why? What is it?
We're not writing down enough information, though.
Oh, my gosh. How much information can you write down?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. But, I mean, talking to two other captains in two different other locations us.
All right, so Chip, we figured it out. These stars lined up. The moon was here. It was in a waxing mode.
Yeah.
There was an afternoon thunderstorm that was in Steinhatchee. So we're not going to go fishing until all that happens again.
Yeah. The moon's got to be at 9:55 in the morning. Right. Dropping.
Yeah. So you'll never be able to figure. You could probably figure out why.
It's fun though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, I love it when the stars align.
Yeah. No kidding. Let Mercury and Venus and Anus or whatever line up. I'm perfectly fine.
Well, not that. But then we got the Sahara Desert sand coming across.
Did you see
across.
That? Yeah. What the hell was that bloom going on offshore? Did you see any of that?
Oh, yeah.
That bloom, whatever was going on offshore. Yep. That was crazy.
Yeah.
There was junk all over the place.
Yeah. All right, buddy. We got to take a break.
We got to take a break.
Appreciate you.
Have a great
Michael's
night,
yelling
guys.
At us.
You too,
Bye, buddy.
Go get some rest. Have a beer on us. 641-1010, 641. Dude. That's when you do doubles.
The only
when
you
come
want
home
is a shower and bed and
a beer,
yeah.
A cold beer. When you get home, yeah, you're like, oh my gosh, that's the best.
I get it.
Yeah, 641-1010. Give us a call right here on the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast.
This is the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast, brought to you by Ring Power and Tire Outlet on 1010 XL.
Welcome back to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. Real quick, we got to get going. We got a Kevin wanting to talk to a Kevin.
Yes.
Hey, Kevin. Scott, Kevin, great to talk to you. I just love the show. Listen all the time. I learned so much listening to you guys and Leon. I learned how to fish so many things. But that story about saving that fish, such a big deal to me. But I fish every Saturday.
Yep.
And I've done it for years and years up around the Mayport area.
Uh-huh.
And I'm always out there wondering what it would be like. You know, I hear you guys talking all the time about being charter captains. You know, you kind of imagine what it's like to be a captain. And
yeah.
Then you think, you know, this day you'd really stink it up. That day you did pretty good. But a buddy of mine wanted to have a friend come that had never fished before. So... you know, it kind of made me a little on the nervous side, maybe, you know, like I am a captain. And
yeah, that, absolutely.
Pressure doesn't matter.
Yeah, because we got to run, Kevin. Did you catch him a fish?
Yeah, oh, yeah, we just had the greatest day. And, you know, I've been trying to fish new spots now. I'm on this thing where I try not to fish the same place twice. But,
right.
You know, for last Saturday, you know, I listened to your show last week, and it was a little negative. You know, the bite wasn't on.
Yep.
So I was nervous Saturday morning. You know, I'm at the marina.
Oh, hold on, Kevin. Yeah. So what did you catch? Because we got to go. I want to know what you caught.
Oh, we got two trout over 20 inches.
Nice.
And,
nice.
Yeah, and then we caught a bunch of legal trout, 15. 16 inches, and then some short reds and jacks, that sort of thing.
That's a great day, Kevin.
Thank you for calling us.
Thank you so much, buddy. Have a great evening.
Thanks for listening.
You too, bud. Thanks.
All right.
Thank you.
Have you been listening to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast with Captain Scott Shank? I'm Captain Kevin Favor, brought to you by the most awesome producer who's not going to be single for very long.
I can't believe there is somebody out there for somebody.
Yeah.
Congratulations,
oh,
Michael.
Well, thank you.
He's rough, brother. He's rough.
Oh,
folks,
yeah.
Don't forget to listen to the Nimnik Outdoor Show 7 to 10 on Saturday morning. I will not be there. I'll be fishing the Kingbuster, and hopefully I'll see you out this weekend. Y'all have a great weekend. See you.
See you.